44. Tananarive was grateful the walls of her confinement were soft but firm. Whatever was carrying her along did not trouble to make the trip pleasant. Jerks and jostles made it hard to keep focused on the sliding, cool voice of the ice mines in her mind, overlayered with their images of the lands where they lived. Starlight cast stretched pale fingers across the plain of rock and ice, where vacuum flowers dutifully pointed their parabolic eyes at the slow sweep of target suns. Around the base of the light harvesters flowed the pearly fluids that were the commingled selves of the ice mines. How these blended thought and became coherent, she could not imagine. The moment hastens. We decided to revive ourselves wholly to deal with this pressing problem.
What problem?
Your species. The folk believed they could deal with you as a young and largely incompetent species, but we came to see this is not so. She thought of saying,
"Gee, thanks,"
but sarcasm might not translate in dealing with aliens.
Look, we have been imprisoned or chased ever since we got here.
The folk are our... A pause.
Our police. They also maintain at equilibrium.
We are not at equilibrium now.
They have failed to understand your kind. Now disruption proceeds.
What? Why? How? Your ship has disturbed our jet. The folk have ordered attacks on your ship. This is against our wishes. We cannot well communicate with your kind in your ship, as some of the folk have prevented that. We wish you to speak directly to your ship through channels we shall soon open.
That's a lot to take in. Sunseeker is in your jet?
Wow. Into her mind came an image of a small dark moat plowing upstream against a torrent of coiling plasma. The view backed away, and she could see the jet slide sideways as it approached the knothole. It surged over the knothole restraining fields and into several life zones. Atmosphere belched out. Some thin girders holding the atmosphere zones apart fractured and fell. She was startled.
Your mind we can approach. The folk attendant astute astronomer Memoir made deep soundings of your neural labyrinths. These we use now. We wish you to speak with your own kind, and then to serve to reassure the diaphanous.
Another alien?
Who are...
Into her mind came images of fluid fluxes merging in eddies and turning in fat toroids, all in intricate yellow lines against a pale blue background. Somehow she knew these were larger than continents and fuzzy at their edges, where flow was more important than barriers. Intricate coils bigger than worlds, shattering explosions, all testified to the recombining energy of the fields.
These live in the jet?
She could not imagine this, but lack of imagination had ceased to be a good argument here. They evolved in the magnetic structures that dot the skin of stars. These could knot off, twist, and so make a new coil of field. Embedding information in those fields led to reproduction of traits. From that sprang intelligence, or at least awareness.
But they don't have bodies. How can they...
Her grasp faltered. You and we do not witness the chaotic tumble of great plasma clouds between the stars. We all see nothing hanging between the hard points of incandescent light, and so falsely assume that space is somehow nothing. But evolution works there, against the constant forces of dissolution. Tananarive knew a bit of general life theory. Brute forces seemed bound, inevitably, to yield forth systems that evolution drove to construct some awareness of their surroundings. It took billions of years to construct such mind views. Those models of the external world could become more complex. Some models worked better if they had a model of, well, models, of themselves. So came the sense of self in advanced animals. But in plasma and magnetic fields? The diaphanous migrated on solar systems into the greater voids where we evolved. When the building of the bowl began, it became essential to include them as managers of the jet and of the star itself. Only by shaping the magnetic fields of star and jet can we move the bowl with constant attention to momentum and stability. Who else to govern magnetic machinery than magnetic beings?
The ice mine sounded so reasonable, their conclusion seemed obvious. Before her inner eye played scenes of magnetic arches rising from stars, twisting and kinking to cut off and therefore give birth to new self-stabilized beings. She could sense, not merely see, waves lashing among the complex magnetic nets that surged in her mind. Speech of a sort, maybe. Now the view in her mind shifted to the jet and the plight of Sunseeker, pursued by small ships of destructive intent.
You want to... what? Broker a deal? After hounding us across...
The folk have failed us. Their defenses of the jet are ancient and many failed. Your ship did not even notice these, we are certain. The loosened jet now lashes across life zones and wreaks much ill. Yet those who bear down upon that ship now may well have to resort to a weapon we have vowed never to use. It could bring far more evil.
That at least was a familiar concept. Calamity stacking up.
Okay, what do I do?
Let us override the folk pathways. We shall connect you to your Captain Redwing.
A ripple ran through her mind, a floating, airy sensation that somehow mixed with colors flashing in what she felt as her eyes. Yet at the same time she knew her eyes were open in the complete blackness of the cramped machine. Her eyes saw black, but her mind saw shifting bands of orange and purple, and on top of that, bursting yellow foam ran over an eggshell blue plane. Speckled green things moved on it in staccato rhythm. Twisting lines meshed there and wove into triangles where frantic energy pulsed. A shrill grating sound came with flashes of crimson. Then she saw Redwing. His image wobbled, and she wondered how they could put that into her mind.
What are you?
His voice echoed as though he were in a chamber.
Captain, this is Tanner Nereve. I'm in some device that, well, wants to speak with you. They are... Let's skip that, okay? The bowl has a lot stranger aliens than we thought.
How do I know you're really Tanner Nereve at all?
This question hadn't occurred to her.
Recall that party we had before we went down to land? Feels like a long time ago.
Yes, I suppose I do.
He was standing on the bridge, and she could see Beth and others in the background all looking at what had to be a...
What?
She tried to remember the bridge, but failed. Maybe a camera? How did these aliens tap into internal ship systems? Into her head came the ice mine's sliding, calm voice.
We have dealt with what you term your Artilex. They are most agreeable.
You brought out a bottle of champagne, remember? You said it was for our first landfall at Glory. But what the hell, this was a landfall, and so here it was.
Damn. Redwing's face broadened into a grin. It really is you. No video, but welcome aboard, sort of.
Captain, I'm conveying messages from, well, some aliens we didn't know were here. They want you to stop fooling with the jet.
That comes later. For now, tell your commander that they are in grave danger.
She said that, but Redwing's face turned away to look at a screen she could partially see. On it some flecks moved against a yellow weave of lines that she knew represented magnetic field contours.
You mean these guys coming up on us?
Your ship has permission to destroy them, but a weapon aboard one of them can erase your ship.
Captain, try to kill them right away. They have something.
She paused, not knowing what to say.
It is the Lambda gun, and will disrupt space-time near them.
It's some sort of ultimate weapon,
she said. Redwing looked tired. He nodded.
Okay, stay on the line. We'll try that.
The connection broke. His image dwindled, and she was in darkness. Somebody was still carrying her around, and she felt a sudden drop.
Thump.
She heard distant shouts in a language she did not know, and felt all at once very tired.